It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than finding you're in trouble while flying. Definitely better than that. You can join our chat room, Den Pen. Go to davincomedy.com. Click live broadcast. Also watch us on Facebook Live on the Davin's Den page. For some reason, even when Pip's there, Pip echoes. I don't know why. Anyway, audio is better on Davin Comedy. I'm your host, Davin Rosebud. I'm joined by Pip Helix. Hello, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
And Joe will be running along here shortly. He's in the vicinity. On the show, in School of Fools, an elementary school principal tries to shame her students into better grades. In Louisiana, before you handle yourself for alone time, you're going to need to show some ID. That was my blog. Interesting new law Louisiana came up with. And not to be outdone, New York's got some interesting things coming too. As New Yorkers are getting hot about a plan to eliminate gas stoves, I am sure Joe will have a strong opinion about that. And I'm sure somehow it'll be linked to AOC.
We'll be fanning the flames of that particular issue.
Yes. Scam busters and a new scam targeting the military. Turbulent air, and I'm going to go on record now. Like, short of a plane crash, this is the worst turbulent air ever. Worst ever.
There are some moments where I am not that upset that I haven't flown in a while.
But I'm not going to say what it is. But
yep.
Would you say worst turbulent air short of a crash?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So, I'm excited to bring that to you folks. And we'll do some scamming scammers. So that's what we will do this week. I'm standing there on Saturday and I'm working at Bananas as we say goodbye to Denise again. As Joe said, Denise is doing the Kiss farewell tour. It never ends.
But
Denise of Bananas, actually, this was for the waitresses. That's what for the wait staff. So, and I was working this weekend at the club. Joe was working last weekend at the club, or 2 weekends ago, whatever it is. And I'm standing there. My back starts to hurt. I don't know why my back's hurting. And now it hurt. I may no longer be able to wear cowboy boots with heels. I might need to get orthopedic cowboy boots.
You know what? A time comes, and all of a sudden your feet say, no.
It's not my feet. It's my back.
Yes, but it's starting from the feet.
It's like on the lower right-hand side. I think it was from lifting weights. I think that's what it was. But the disturbing thing is, apparently, because of this injury, I now whimper in my sleep. How pathetic. How pathetic.
Oh! I feel for you, though.
Shoot me. Shoot me!
Oh, I often say that. Please.
Yes.
Please, put me out of my misery. There's, I think it's Alien 2 or something, when Ripley's character confronts all of the mutants that have been made of her,
mm-hmm.
and of her DNA or whatever, and one of them is so miserable, it's like, kill me! Kill me! I think about that a lot.
I mean, you know, it's just... It was really annoying on Sunday.
But I mean, it's a little better now. I'm not lifting any weights now because I'm like, you know, even though I want to lift weights, I'm like, I should probably not, because weights
not while it's
hurts.
Not while it's irritated. No.
Yeah. It's like, ugh. But just to find out you're whimpering in your sleep. What? How many degrees of pathetic is that? Unconscious whimpering is what I've been reduced to. I'm just a pile of ugh. It's just done.
That's not fair, though. You can't help. Your body is upset. It's hurting, and so it's finding a way to let it out.
Apparently. But, you know, I always say, well, you know, I feel good. And I usually do feel good. But,
do you want to go back to just the farting, or is whimpering part of the palate now?
I don't think they're mutually exclusive.
I don't think so. Oh, no, it's misery out of both ends.
Well, I mean, you know, listen, one is I'm feeling miserable, and the other one, I guess, is making the people around me miserable. Wow, you brought it.
I find it interesting. There are multiple people around you when you sleep.
Yes, we gather a crowd. That's what we like to do. Like to gather around.
You sleep in a hut together. Just,
yes.
You know, you and your clan.
My clan of fake girlfriends. That's my clan.
You know what? I saw this video that I just can't forget. There's this guy that lives on a. I guess an animal reserve in Africa, and because the animals are familiar with him, the cheetahs go in and sleep with him. He sleeps in a sleeping bag on the floor, and the cheetahs, like three of them, go in and like curl up with him and lie on top of him, and they cuddle every night.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, oh my God.
Yeah, like that's fine there for the 100th time, but like the first time, I would think it's a problem. I mean, how do you keep your shit together when the cheetah pack just moseys on in? And who leaves the door open in a wildlife reserve? Stop on by any time. I've watched Naked and Afraid many times. They do everything they can to seclude themselves. And apparently this maniac's like, no, we got some treats. We got some snacks, some raw giraffe. Nibble on some giraffe or some gazelle and then curl up for a snoozy poo. Are you kidding me? And what happens when they wake up?
Well, he's not exactly rubbing himself with, like, you know, seasonings. You know, they know him, and so this, like, little group of cheetahs, they're comfortable enough with him that at night it gets a little chilly, so they all decided to, like, hunker down with their pal.
They're just like house cats.
They're like big house cats. Of course, these are ones who are more tame and are used to being with humans. Not just like, I'm not saying go out in the wilds of Africa and like try to pet a cheetah, but I'm saying that, you know, he knows these animals. It's adorable seeing them sleep together. There's another guy that takes naps with cheetahs, and he's narrating as, like, he lays down under a tree on the savannah, and they come over and hang out with him, and like he puts his arm out, and this one will cuddle with him, but she also licks his head, and he said it's like huge, really rough sandpaper going across his face and his head, and after a while, it really hurts.
I can't imagine cheetah breath being particularly good.
I'm imagining not, unless you'd like rancid gazelle smell.
What an interesting life some people lead. But then again, it's like interesting to us, but it's also kind of boring, if you think about it, you know.
Oh, just being outdoors all the time and just like being hot and uncomfortable without the creature comfort.
Well, I mean, what's the highlight of your day? Being a cheetah salt lick. I mean, you know. I mean,
I think that would be beautiful.
Who are you telling? Like, who are you? Oh, okay. But does that pay the bills? I mean, what does that do?
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't
know how much that pays, but I'm thinking that, yay, I have to listen to ridiculous human beings complain about first world problems all day. And I think it would be really nice to spend some time in nature with animals who the worst they do is lick your hair.
Yeah, well, I don't know if that's the worst they do. I mean, you know, the series kind of ends when the cheetah gets pissed off.
Or decides that your fist looks like an apple.
Yeah, I mean, there was that guy who hung out with grizzly bears until he didn't.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Siegfried and Roy, that fella.
I mean, like, and these animals go like crazy in zoos and everything. Oh, you know, once in a while, you know, tigers had enough and no more a zookeeper. So.
I think zoos are a different situation. There are some zoos that try their best to make their, you know, all their exhibits as, you know, wildlife friendly as possible, as much like their natural habitat. But they're still caged and they know that. So they're going to get pissed off. You know, or depressed or whatever, and take it out on somebody. These wildlife preserves, though, are like wide-ranging, sprawling places, so at least they're not getting killed by poachers.
No, they do sometimes. Poachers sneak in there.
Oh, they do sneak in there.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that, you know, the ones that survive, at least they're being taken care of in their natural habitat.
But I don't know if the natural habitat includes a hut where we all spend the night.
Well, you know what? They just love those damn snacks. You know how cheetahs are.
Yeah, I mean,
they love their cheddar.
I wonder how that relationship works. Like, at one point, you just go, oh, all right, I'm surrounded by a pack of cheetahs. I guess that's today. And you don't freak out? I mean, I don't know. I'd be freaked out.
It probably worked up to that point. You know, he probably fed them or, you know, gained their trust little by little.
You're not supposed to feed them. They're wild animals. You're not supposed to feed them.
Well, on a game, you know, preserve, yeah, they probably do.
No, they don't.
Somewhat.
No, they don't. There's other wild animals there. They're supposed to live their natural life. They don't gather around for tender vittles like my cats do. You know, it's not like, oh, you're going downstairs in the morning, feed me? No, it's not that. They're living a wild animal life.
You know, I don't know.
Of course they are. Otherwise, what's the point? It's called a preserve. It's called a wildlife preserve, not a wildlife pet and snooze.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, they had one of those petting zoos when you used to go to work at Wisecrackers when they're up in the Poconos. You used to drive by and they used to have like a petting zoo with a lion on it. And I'm like, who the hell wants to go there?
The lion doesn't want to be petted.
I've held a baby tiger cub. I've held, you know, but you know that's.
Oh, but it's a baby.
Yeah.
When did you pet a tiger cub?
One of my, I feel like my daughter did too. The three of us did. One of our vacations somewhere. It's not something we went around the corner to do. But it's like one of those things where you like. I think you we have the picture somewhere. Where you pay to pet it, and like a certain amount of the money goes to like, you know, their habitat or preserving them, that type of thing. Yeah, I'm sure we did that.
You don't want to pet them when a certain amount of your anatomy goes to their stomach.
I don't want to pet them in a forest in Sumatra. I would like to have it be in a space that is somewhat contained.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess a tiger cub. Could get how to have enough of your shit and bite you too, I guess.
Well, it's sure. Pretty rough, you know. I mean, sometimes they play, you know, play rough. I remember.
Listen.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
I remember at my brother's farm one time when I was a kid. My nephew Matt and I were in the pen, and there was a little baby calf in there, and that thing knocked the shit out of me. You know, a little calf, but man, that thing was man. You know, I wanted to play. But he would
knock the shit out of you. You know, I think that, you know, even kittens, when they're small and they've got the little teeth, those things are like paring knives. And so if you think little kittens with these tiny teeth and these tiny claws can rip your shit up, can you imagine had...
A lion like that, especially if the kitten is like a feral cat, and it kind of gets domesticated, because what the problem is when a kitten plays rough, and if the kitten is with the mom will, and I've seen it through the years, the mom will hold the kitten down and tell the kitten, you know, you don't play like this. This is how you play. Sometimes
right.
A feral cat that is away from their mom, they don't know that. We had a cat over at the day program, and he was very sweet, he was loveful, but sometimes he'd fucking bite you. And then he's just playing, but he doesn't know, you know? He doesn't know that he can't play that rough.
Oh, yeah. We had a cat that he would just, you knew, there was a certain motion to his head and a certain way that he would kind of like look out of the corner of his eye, and you knew the bite was coming. It's like,
oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
You'd see him get into position and start getting squirrely like that, and I'd have to go, Creamy, no bites, no bites. And sometimes I would stop it, and sometimes he'd turn around, and, oh, I was getting bitten anyway.
Well, I had a pair of work gloves on one day, and I was playing Coochie Coo with him, and he lays his fangs into the work gloves, and he got pissed at me. He gives me this dirty look of, what kind of shit is this? I want to say it's not leather. What is this? I'm like, so you start learning, stupid. You're not gonna get a bank full of leather.
So, Joe, this weekend I was at Bananas, and I'm talking to our friend Denise, and they play that Bananas theme song still on a cassette, if you can believe it or not. Like, I don't know why somebody. I thought I sent her a digital version of it at one point. I thought I did. Anyway. So she's like, I'm home and I'm looking for the master of the cassette. So she found a cassette and she shows me the cassette. Was it the master of the Bananas cassette? No, it was you. It was stupid you and Jim David. You can't even headline a cassette. But what the hell are you doing on a Bananas cassette tape?
See, what a treasure talent.
I mean, what? Why would they have a cassette of you?
I don't know. How was the set? Was it all right?
I didn't listen. No, I mean... you thought I went to Denise. Denise, quick, let's get the Sony boombox. Let's hear Joe.
That had to be years ago, because I remember going with Jim David to that gig, you know? And it's funny, because I go to pick him up, and this guy, I'm trying to get out of the where we're parking, this guy puts me up. I'm like, that's stupid. And Jim looks at me and goes, you sound like my friend Jim Norton.
Well, hasn't he? I thought she said he was like retired for like 15.
Then it might have been 15 years ago.
But why is that? Why are you? Why would they have in possession a recording of your cassette?
I don't know. It's not like it's a scheme I hatched. I don't know.
Why are you asking him?
And if it was, it doesn't work. He still MC me there. even though Denise did say that she's gonna, you know, she will be moving me up, but that was after a couple of cocktails, so who knows? But nonetheless,
well, I mean, Denise books the features and hosts. She says she doesn't book the headliners. I don't know, but yeah, we said goodbye to Denise again this weekend.
Who was headlining?
Pat McGann, who is Sebastian Maniscalco's opening act. So, I didn't really talk too much. Funny guy. So they had three shows scheduled. All those were sold out. They added a fourth show, like at the last minute on Friday night. So it was good, you know. And I saw
all the dates on that. I'm like, wow, it is good weekend. Yeah, because I saw that they were all, you know, there was two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, which is usually, you know, when Vic comes in, you know. So that's good.
There was, and the host was a guy by the name of, I don't know, you probably never, maybe you did, Bob Gallup. Do you ever work with Bob Gallup? He's been around forever.
The name is familiar.
So I opened for him 15 years ago. I featured for him like 15, 20 years ago, at Catch a Rising Star in Atlantic City when they had a place at Bally's. So Bob was hosting, I was featuring, and Pat McGann was headlining, and I ran into this lady, she was at the show. She comes up to me, she's like, I know your dad. So apparently she's a nurse at my dad's, at the hospital where my dad does cardiac care rehab, because, you know, years ago he had quintuple bypass. So I guess,
I didn't know that. Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So apparently my dad still does it. She's like, he's the biggest cheerleader. He tells these people that they're just starting. It's like, you got to stick with it. It really helps and everything.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
And then she's like, oh, he's so proud of you. And I'm like, are you sure it's my dad? But
did you check the chart?
What?
Did you look at the chart when he was telling you all this?
Yeah.
Everything's okay.
Funny. That's funny. No, it was good shows. I
Security, what's your name? Is Davin Rosenblatt your son? All right.
What kind of meds do they have him on?
Right.
Yeah.
I did a new joke. I was pretty happy with it. Pretty happy with the new joke I posted. Yeah, because I see Joe the week before. Joe's always got new shit. I'm like, all right, I got to do some new shit. And no reason to. There's no reason. It's not like people are coming back time and time again like I'm Vic DiBattista or something. It's like, oh, when's he going to write new shit? Yeah, they're not doing that. But I feel...
It feels nice because I did a new bit at the mic on Thursday. I've been wanting to try and do, and, you know, a person lifted up his head from the phone and said, So I'm like, all right, let me try Sunday, and it works. So, it's, you know, it's nice when a new bit works. And you know you can do it. You got it off paper. You can roll with it and stuff like that. Great feeling, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, Joe. Let's cue up the "You Stink." Hold on.
You stink.
All right. Where did customer service touch you now? Show us on the dolly.
All right. And where we're going to show you on the dolly is Stop and Shop in Rocky Point, New York.
Stop and Shop in Rocky Point, New York. Okay.
Okay. So here's the deal. I it's time to recycle my bottles and cans. I have a whole shitload of them in my garage, and I'm like, I got other stuff. I gotta do this. I gotta do something for work. I gotta do it. And I'm like, you know what? I've been wanting to do it this week. Let me just go there. So I go one at a time. I bring my glass bottles in, and I start recycling them. And then I bring my cans and my plastic. Now the thing about it, when you recycle, you go in this area. It's cold. You're there. You feel like a piece of shit, you know. And
well, wait a minute. Why do you feel like a piece of shit?
Because I'm in with all these disgusting bottles. The floor is sticky. I'm all bundled up. It's cold. You know?
All right. First of all, I find it hard to believe it's the first time you're in a dirty place that's cold and the floor is sticky.
Yeah. I call that home.
Yeah, you do. Well, that's because they shut off the heat, dear.
I mean, it's menial stuff, but it's like, you know, you're like, you can't wait to get the end of one bag, and then it's the other bag, so you're there. So I'm there for about 40 minutes. I recycle a glass, I recycle a plastic.
Wow, wow. What did you have, like a spare bedroom full of bottles? 40 minutes.
A garage.
Oh, my. You know what? You're the guy who I'm behind you going, really? How many is this guy going to do? You're the guy. You got all the machines going like it's your own little private thing.
Well. I am very courteous because what I do, number one, I go there early. I got there, like 8 o'clock. I got 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, whatever. And then I don't bring everything at once because it won't fit in the cart. I bring the glass in, I do the glass, go back to the car, bring the bottle, you know, and so on and so forth. So by the time I got done, I had $28 worth of returns.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Yeah, $28.
Well, wait, hold, did you? Is this like every bottle you've collected since you moved?
No. I only started recycling last year, right after the Super Bowl. So
wow,
this is about 4 months, 5 months worth of bottles. You know, it's not like 2 weeks. Relax. So I go there, you know, and I got $28 worth of coupons. So I go shopping. I buy $50 worth of food, and then it shows show coupons. So I'm trying to put the coupon in, and it's not taking it. So I grab one of the matrons that run the self serve. Check out, and you know, trying to get them, you could be choking on the floor. They step over you.
Well, first of all, and I've ranted about this on stage once. My wife was there. Self serve is never self serve because you can never do it yourself. It's the biggest misnomer. That's why I go go to the 16-year-old girl or boy. Go there as opposed to because invariably the machine's going to break, and there's only one quote unquote matron, as Joe likes to call them, to handle all the machines. So now now it's taking more time. It never goes smoothly.
Yeah. So I call the matron over, and I go, look, trying to put my coupon here with the thing. You can't use it here at the machine. You have to get cash them out at the courtesy desk. And I'm like, nice, would have been a sign on.
Wait a minute. There's not a barcode on it?
There's a barcode on it.
So then she should be able to swipe it or even enter manually.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. No, you have to go to the courtesy and they give you cash. Nice if there would have been a sign on the machines or on the self-checkout. So I'll do you a favor. I'll bring them over. I'll bring the cash back. And now I'm paying. I go. It's very inconvenient because I wanted to use it, you know, to deduct it off my debit card, you know. So she comes back. Now it's $28. she brings back $12, and then the remainder still with the coupons. And she goes, I can only give you $12 today, and here's the rest of it. You'll have to come back and redeem these at another time. Because I can only do it. New York State law says you can only get $12 back a day.
Really?
And I'm like,
well, hold on. I mean, I don't know. I've never had a collection quite like you, but I find that hard to believe because I see people going in there with bags and bags and bags of stuff.
Yeah.
And so, I call bullshit on that because we had a surplus of plastic bottles, and we brought it to one of those places where you just dump it, they count them for you, and give you the money, and we got over $12.
Well, see, that's the thing. See, Joe's making a mistake here by going to the supermarket. My wife goes to a place where they just do recycling too, and she just gives them the stuff and doesn't have to do it. You're gonna have to find a place, Joe.
Yeah,
there is a place that might check out, but anyway, here's $12 cash, and the remainder. You'll have to come back on another day to redeem them. And I'm like, all right. So I start to move my cart, and I'm starting to walk out, and I'm like, you know what? This is bullshit.
Yeah.
So I go over to the courtesy counter, and she's like, may I help you? Yeah, I want to return my groceries and get my money back. And she goes, I beg your pardon? I go, I want to return my groceries and get my money back. So she goes,
Hold on. Let's stop this right here. Joe is already annoyed because this is inconvenienced and taking him longer. And now Joe has been doing something that is going to be even more inconvenient and take even more time.
But you want to know something? Because here's the thing. I have just spent. Last week at the day program, we let some people go. And one of them was my customer service, the person I work with customer service. She was great. And I was able to help a lot of my customers with you know, situations, pricing, stuff like that. And I want, you know, my job is to make sure the customers get the best price and everything is taken care of. And I go out of my way to do it. I'm even fighting with the factory over it, okay? So I got kind of a chip on my shoulder with people not thinking that, because the person that's filling in for her is a lovely lady. She was at our gigs when we were out at the Holly Hotel. Nice, but she's very stringent. She doesn't think out of the box. And she doesn't know how things work in New York. She's a Midwesterner. She's a dear, sweet lady. Don't get me wrong. But during the day, it's a problem, okay? And it was a lot of problems. So basically, I had a big chip on my shoulder with this going on, with people that are not thinking outside the box. And now, I don't have to answer. It's my time, you know? So if I have to go somewhere else, I'm going. But I'm not going to sit there with no signs up and then tell me what's going to happen. Here's your $12, right? You can't, when there's no signs, and I had no clue. If there were signs, I get it. I got to read. But there was none. And I go, I'm not going to stand for this. So I go up and I go, I want to return my groceries. And why do you want to return your groceries? Sure. Well, I'll explain to you. I go, look, I go, I just returned, I did $28 worth of bottles. I go, and there's no sign in your machine, which I understand. Why would you want to put that on the customers, for the customers to see? And then I go, and there was nothing on the redemption machine. So what they did was they gave me $12 cash, and I go, and the remainder of the money, which is probably about $14, I have to come back to the store. And I go, I don't want to...
Wait, hold on. Let me stop you there. What happens if you don't live in the area?
Well, I don't know. You wouldn't take a day trip to go. You know, it's not like...
No, but your finances for recycling are not supposed to be tied to a specific place. It's a state.
No,
it's a state thing. I don't understand this. How you have to come back?
Store. I mean, maybe it's the store's rule. I don't know. They're saying it's New York State. But so what I told her is, I go, look, I don't want to inconvenience the store. And I go, so what I'm going to do is, I'm going to take my $12, and I'm going to return my groceries. And then when I'm going to come back, maybe here, I'm probably going to be going to King Cullen from now on. And I go, and then I'm going to buy my groceries back, because I don't want to be an inconvenience to the store, because the customer doesn't matter here, and I understand that, and I don't want to veer from the rules. So she goes, let me just give you the other amount of cash, and then that will be fine. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that'll be fine. And I took the other amount of cash, and I kept the groceries, because I don't. You're inconveniencing the customer. You're not thinking outside the box. Rules are rules. Who cares what I think? So you know what? Here's your groceries. I'll take my business elsewhere. You know, and it's...
I don't understand why you couldn't have just gotten, could you have gotten all the thing in cash originally, the full $28?
I was figuring I was going to get the $28 in cash.
So, all right, so they can give you the $28. They just...
Only if you speak up and go, this is unacceptable.
But here's the thing. You can recycle without ever buying any groceries there. They're a recycling center.
I understand that. But you would think that I did recycle there at your store, and now I'm going to come in with the money from the recycling from your store, and I'm going to spend money at your store. It's not like I was switching the motor as a problem, and I wasn't planning on getting anything. I bought groceries. I'm a customer. I'm a regular customer. I'm there every week. And I go, and so you don't lose my business, and you have a matron there that just gives you the $12. You don't put a sign up. You don't warn you. You don't tell you on the machines. And then they're going to say, well, you're only going to get $12 back, and then you can come back with the later. And I'm supposed to feel that this is acceptable after I spent $50 already on one bag of groceries? No, I don't want to inconvenience you. Here's your groceries back. It's all there. Here's the receipt. Give me my $50 back, okay? Put it back on my card. And then when I come back, maybe your store, I'm going to come back to your store, and then I'll buy the groceries that I purchased here. By the way, I'm probably never coming back again. I spend probably, let's see, a week, probably three. I spend at least maybe $10,000 on groceries, you know, because I keep everything on a chart. Okay, I usually spend maybe $140 a week, whatever. So, you know, I keep around town. So this $12 is going to cost you at least $4,000 to $5,000. This is your choice to make. Fine, you know.
So wait a minute. So you were gonna forego all the shopping you had done to prove this point over $16.
And you want to know something? Because I refuse. Because you want to know something? During the day, I bend over backwards. I'm not a rules or words person. The customer comes first. It's the end of the story. If I go into a store and they don't have signs up detailing what's going on, they don't detail it on the checkout machine, and then they tell you, well, here's, you'll have to come back and take their, you know, and come back for the rest of the money. And I just had the courtesy of buying groceries at your store. You want to know something? I guess I'm the problem here. I'm not deserving of your groceries. Give me my money back. And when I sort the coupons back, I'll come back. Because apparently I'm not of a value at your store. And you know what? It's worth that, where I feel that I got the upper hand. And I told them, you know, I can go to another supermarket. It's not 10 o'clock at night. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. You know, this is the way you're going to be with me as a customer. Fine, I'll play your game. Give me my money back. And when you get the rest of the money I have from the bottles, I'll come back. You know why? Because I was cold. I was bored shitless putting those fucking cans in. The can doesn't read it the right way. This isn't a can. Of course it's a can, asshole. I got to argue with that damn thing. Then I got to go back to the – and it's freezing. My hands are freezing. I got my gloves on and stuff. So, you know, it was a little work that I put in. You know, for 40 minutes, I'm out there like a lummox with these fucking bottles. And I'm going to put – no. I'll take my coupons. I'll take my $12, and I'll go somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, we've never had that much recyclables at once, but I feel like you get like a voucher out of the machine, and you can either go to customer service and they give you cash, or if you go to the checkout line, you're buying groceries, they can swipe the barcode and take it off.
Right. We don't do that. You have to go redeem the cash at the counter.
Well, I live in the same state as you.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Why wouldn't they tell you what you have to do before you get up to the cash register?
Well, to be fair, I don't think...
counting on that money.
To be fair, I don't think they tell us what to do. I just think you just know. They like you don't have to go through... They don't divide your winnings, you know.
Yes.
No, it's not that. It's just like, you know, when you have... If you have some... There's some state law that says you can't have more than $12, which I still don't believe.
No, that's not true.
No, that doesn't make sense at all. We went to a place and we got more than $12 for the pile that we had, and it was Mr. Hillocks had the cash in his hand. It was $12 and change. So if they limited you.
Yeah, and like I said, I had the $28. So she's going, well, it's a state law. You can only get the $12 back. All right, this is Joe Curry law, that if you're going to fuck me like that, all the groceries go up your ass. That's my law.
You know what I probably would have done? If she came at me, it was state law, and if I was annoyed, like you clearly were, and there are days where I am, depending on what mood I was in, I probably would have said, state law, huh? Let's Google that. And then I would have Googled, you know, is there a limit on how much you can get back recycling? And if it was $12, I'd go, huh, I learned something. Okay. Now, is that 24 hours? Is it shopping trips? But if it's not, I'd be like, there's no state law. Go give me my money. That's probably what I would have done.
But the thing about that is that, well, that's our rule. I don't know, because nobody can do anything. But if I'm going, all right, here's my groceries, give me my money, put them all back.
But it's not their rule. She was making shit up.
Here's the deal. You could cut short the argument when you're like, you know what? That's your rule. I'm cutting bait. I'm not doing business. Take your products back. I'll go somewhere else. It changes the dynamic. She could debate you till the cows come home, if it is, or it's their policy, or I got to, you know, blah, blah. But if she sees that, Jesus Christ, this asshole's return, I got to go through all this stuff, I got to put it back, I got to give him his money, you know what, fuck him, just give him the $12. So that's why I went with that approach. I could argue till the cows come home, but if you're doing something tangible, you know, that she's got to work, she's gonna, you know, it's kind of putting it on them, fine. You go to work putting all this shit back, like I was fucking sitting out there 40 minutes putting the Picasso bottles in the machine.
You know? Oh, you're using my words now. That's nice.
I worked for Jewish people for 20 years. I could.
Yeah, but you never used Fakakta until I started using Fakakta on the show.
Yeah. But still, you know, I picked up Yiddish. But still, so I figured, you know what? I'll put it back on them. Let them do some work. So they gave me the money back. And, you know, I mean, I don't. Put a sign on the machine. Put a sign that, whether regardless if it's bullshit or not, at least you know why you're there. All right, I gotta save some of these, or you know, or the machine doesn't take the redeem coupon. Put it on the machine. It's the same thing when you go when I go there. If it's late at night, for example, about 2 weeks ago, we did this show. Okay, obviously, I had absolutely no food in the house, nothing, and I go, I had to make lunch for the next day. So after we got done with the show, I ran out to Stop and Shop. They close at 11 o'clock. And you go there, and one side of the door, they lock. And I didn't know this. And they go, oh, yeah, after 10 o'clock, you have to go around. So why do you not put a goddamn sign on the door stating that? So you see it, and you know to go the other way. It's simple shit that people don't do because they're lazy. And I have no patience for it. And that's when I speak up, like I did that night, like I did the night after the show, like I bawled out the gas station guys again for no receipt paper in the machine. You know, I don't tolerate that.
I don't understand how Biden hasn't sent you to Ukraine to win this fucking war. I mean, I'll tell you what, you will not be. You would tell Putin a what for? How inconvenient he's making things for the Ukrainians.
But it's another thing I had to do with the day program yesterday. There's an order that has to go out. It's for plumbing supply house that has an internet business. They have two different UPS account numbers that they use. One for their main plumbing supply business, one for the internet company. I send it out to one of my day program vendors, a UPS number that I've been using for 2.5 years with absolutely no issue. The woman that's rules our realtor, you can't use this. It has to be either or another. This is third party. I go, it's the same company. We use this UPS. Well, if they have to decide which one they're going to use. And I go, it's the same. You override. Well, we don't do that. You have for 2 years. You know, the other person did it for 2 years. So I write to my contact at the place. You got to be kidding me. And then the customer service manager, well, we need to look into this more. And I go, meanwhile, you've got an order that's been sitting here for two fucking days. I didn't write it like that. But somebody used their fucking head, override it to the other one, and get it the hell out of the building. That is stuff that I have absolutely no patience for. People that don't think outside the box and just sit there and rules aren't rules, especially now since we've come come out of COVID. It's dog eat dog out there, and you gotta hustle to get every fucking dollar to keep every customer because they're not loyal anymore. And then I have no tolerance from my contact, who, like I said, is a nice woman at the date program, to these people at Stop and Shop, to the assholes at the gas station. Use your head. Think outside the box. Be prepared. Service the customers. Is that fucking hard?
All right. Well,
I have news.
What's that?
Yes.
I looked up the website of New York regarding bottle refunds. And you may be limited to 240 beverage containers per visit per day. Smaller stores may be able to limit you to 72 containers. However, the law states that you may make a 48-hour advance arrangements to redeem an unlimited amount of empty containers.
See, Joe, you should have called ahead. You should have let them know you're coming in.
You have to tell them 2 days in advance if you're going to bring a whole ton of bottles. But they said you may be limited to 240 beverage containers. You know what that is? $12.
All right. You know what? Good for this woman. Good for this woman.
However, it was based in fact.
But here's the deal. If there was a sign.
Well, Joe, they don't expect the area's riffraff to stroll into Stop and Shop like you did after months of collecting bottles on the side of the LIE.
With the riffraff and me, put aside the so there's the sign out there right on the machine. It says, "Well, I'm the asshole here. I'll take my groceries, my $12, and I'll come back and I'll come back."
There should have been a sign.
Maybe if I learn how to read a fucking sign, that's on me. But when you don't, You gotta use your head.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I don't even let a thing like a sign stop me. I mean, I did tell the story about like how the guy at Walmart insisted I go through the exit, and I said no. So I won't even let a I won't even let signs stop me. But it is good to know that she wasn't completely full of shit. And it's also interesting to know that if you do pitch enough of a bitch, they'll relent and break the law. Although it's not really a law. It's not. It doesn't sound like it's a law. It sounds like it's guidance. Like it's something
it
that can
like it's
do.
A guideline.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? You're gonna find this hard to believe, but sometimes I do realize I'm the asshole in something.
Not nearly enough.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's up to debate. but nonetheless, she told me that there's the sign. It's and I kept arguing. All right. You know what? Learn to read the sign. Get out of the store. Go home. Yeah, take your groceries. Spam. All right. But when there's nothing out there, and then I'm told as I'm purchasing stuff. And you know what? Because you think when you recycle cans at the supermarket, you're going in, you're planning on using that cash to put against the groceries.
Honestly, I've never recycled enough at once where it even crossed my mind that this is going to offset my bill. I mean, I recycle like $3, $5, $1.75, because when the garbage bag fills up, it's time to go. I don't have the expansive mansions that you guys have where I could just fill up a spare bedroom.
Yeah, you do. I think it's about 5-6 bags in the garage, you know? And like I said, it's about 5 months worth of bottles, and it's like, all right, and I go, you know, and I'm like on a kick that I got to get my ass in gear with stuff. So I'm like, I don't have, no, put the fucking things in the car. Get them out of here. You said you were supposed to do it. You know? So,
yeah.
Now I know, but put the signs up there as a courtesy so you know.
Well, why don't you be a little proactive and you put the sign up there?
I know.
You know these bastards are holding you to $12, right? That's his sign.
Well, it's Joe's sign, and if Joe has to take the initiative, he can put bastard up there. I don't know how long they'll keep the sign.
Am I spelling? Nobody will know what the hell's going on.
No. Here's what you should put. You should put a sign on the goes that says, "Not for nothing. You have a $12 maximum." If you,
I like that. Not for nothing. That's so quintessential New York.
Yeah. Not for
nothing.
$12.
From your pal Joe, and this weekend I'll be at Governor's. That's all.
Yeah. P.S. Don't argue with the matron. Go straight to courtesy desk.
Well, you always got to go. Say that I need to speak to your supervisor. Joe was Karen. He was Joe Karen, and it paid off. That's fine. I mean, it was funny before we went live when we were just doing the little pre-show.
The difference is, if the sign is there and a Karen, you know, you're a Karen. Well, I don't care what the sign says. No, the sign is there. Okay, there was no sign.
Well.
No. Put up a goddamn sign so you can see it.
As Pip said.
I agree.
As Pip said before the show, when we were just doing the pre-show, I'm so tired of dealing with people's first world problems. This is such a...
Oh, God, they're exhausted.
And somebody at the customer service desk literally went home and like and told their significant other, you won't believe the shit I had to deal with today, and it was you, Joe.
Do I know something? Good, because I'm usually the person that has to deal with this shit, okay? So if I'm a, and like I said, I had a chip on my shoulder because of the, basically of that I've had to go ass over tea kettle, work late, trying to get my customers accommodated, you know, because the new person is like, well, rules are not, well, we need to do, we're going to lose this order, blah, 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 go through all that. And then I, you know, on Sunday, my day off, I go, and it's like, rules are wrong. No, bullshit. There's no sign, there's no nothing, you know, I just take my groceries back. Fine, you don't want my business? I understand completely. You're important. I shouldn't, you know, I got to learn to live to your rules. Give me my money back. I'll come back when I get the other $12.
Tell you what. Tell you what, that Joe Curry, he might be getting older, but he is still a rebel badass. Still breaking the law.
You know, I really was afraid to use those kind of recycling places because, you know, there's nothing in there that explains to you what you're supposed to do, when you're done. Mr. Helix went and did it a couple times, but I was just like, I don't know what to do. And I didn't want to have a situation like Joe where I walked in there and I'm like, I have these little receipts, and I go up and they're like, no, you don't bring them here. I was intimidated because they don't give you instruction. So I'm surprised to learn that there is a $12 limit. I called BS on that, but it was true. But the thing is, you know, I think that might be something that the supermarkets will hold you to, but these other places where you can bring in bag after bag and dump them out and they'll give you however much cash it adds up to, I don't think that they hold to those limits. You can go get what you want.
But, you know, so, and you know what? It wouldn't have pissed me off either if I wasn't freezing my balls in the vestibule like Vinny the Vagrant. But, you know, this shit through, you know, and it's like, you know, people walking by, they see, oh, the poor man. You know what I mean? Poor man, I don't have a car.
Do you know how many trash cans he had to go through to get all of those?
Let me tell you something. I just, you know, with the recycling, I mean, I'm living paycheck to paycheck, so it's kind of tight. However, I used to think about all those compound parties that, and me and Big A used to be the official cleanup crew. We'd get up in the morning, sure, and we would clean the place. And one of my jobs was throwing out the bottles and stuff like that. I should have thrown them all in the car and taken them home. I would have made a
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well, woulda, shoulda, coulda.
Yeah, right?
All right. Well, let's take our first break. Joe is full of piss and vinegar this evening. So. So we'll see how this turns out. And if you're watching, Pip is apparently camping out in the woods in Ukraine. I don't know what the hell's going on over there in her background.
So, I'm planning on napping with cheetahs later.
Yes. When we come back, a little School of Fools and maybe some new rules about your porn consumption and worst turbulent air ever. Before we go right back, I should tell you what music we're going to listen to. Bad job by me. I was so distracted by Joe's issues. On the break, we got new music from Thais featuring Sue Alone with Alone and Daniel Slam.